greet you in Jesus' name here this morning. A name that's far above any other name. Thank you. I'm blessed already to be here this morning. Just singing that one song that we sing, Tread Softly. We be silent, tread softly. It says, so the Master is here. And we can say, amen. Jesus is here this morning. And what a blessing to know that and to believe that and to trust in that, that He meets with us. He meets with the children of God when you come before Him and just crying out to Him. He meets. He says, cast your care upon Him because He cares. And whatsoever you desire when you pray, if you believe it, you shall receive it. And so today we know that the Lord is in amongst His people. So praise the Lord. Thank Ephraim for sharing that. And that's a question that the children, yes, should learn how to answer, because sharing with people, you hear that all the time. How do you know that God exists? We don't believe that God exists. And can you give me a few examples? You know, and you hear it all the time. And praise God that we can share with them that God does exist, and there is example after example, and evidence after evidence. Too much. It would just see the life of men and women. Especially seeing people being transformed from the great sin that we were in for many years, and transformed into His marvelous grace, and transformed into His child, because we were all wicked. That's evidence itself. What could do that to an ungodly, wicked man? Transform into a compassionate, loving heart, and a heart that just wants to serve Him. So praise the Lord for that. So I just I have a message here I'd like to share today. As I was praying this past week, since I was asked to share, what could I share on? And the Lord just brought it to me the other day, and it is an elementary message, but sometimes we can hear them as well. But a message that the Lord laid in my heart is just the life of Jesus. And I just want to go through here, through the Gospels here, and just share on the life examples of Jesus and the teachings that he left for us, and the teachings that he encourages us to follow. So that's what I want to share on, the life of Jesus, and trust that you would just hear my heart through this today as I share. Okay, before I begin, why don't we have a word of prayer, and we'll go from there. Eternal Father, as we bow here this morning, Lord, I thank You, Lord, for being renewed, Lord, being transformed, having the heart of Jesus within us, the Spirit of God. We know, Lord, that many are called, but few are chosen. And we know that there are very few people that accept Jesus Christ as the Lord of lords and the King of kings and the Savior of their life. So today, Lord, I just thank You that we have a church house here today full of those that have been revived and been renewed and been surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus' will. So we just pray today that You would meet with us again, Father, and just I ask You to share through me, Lord, and share my thoughts, Lord, that I have, and You can just make them clear and just go before us. I just want to commit this time to Your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. I know that oftentimes, even as children of God, we tend to sometimes to compare ourselves among ourselves, and the Bible says it's not wise. But if we compare ourselves with the Lord Jesus, we won't go wrong there. But I mean, when we compare ourselves among ourselves, it seems like if we compare ourselves with somebody, we will always be disappointed at a time. Sometime or another, we will be disappointed. But when we compare or line our life up with Christ, we will not. He will never let us down. He doesn't change. And plus, we will always see a greater need that we can, how we can draw closer to the Lord. So that is my heart. Just go through here and just just to share a message about Jesus here today. Just as before I start here, just some of the prophecies in the Old Testament before his birth, and plus, when God laid this message on my heart this week, Tuesday or Wednesday, as I committed to share a message on Jesus, and didn't think about it until yesterday morning, that Tuesday, as the world celebrates Christmas, but this is a little bit different than a message, a little bit different than how the world celebrates Christmas. But we see back in Micaiah, as they predicted he was going to be born in Bethlehem, Christ, and it talks about, I should back up. First of all, it prophesied in Genesis that I will put enemy between thee and thy woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Then fulfilled in Galatians, it says, but when his fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman under the law. And it talks about where he was going to be born, and Micaiah says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, through thou little be little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of thee shall he come forth into me that is a ruler in Israel, whose going have forth going forth have been from old, from everlasting. And then Luke, and it fulfilled, it says, and Jesus also went up from Galilee and out of the Nazarene into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and the lineage of David. To be taxed with Mary, he exposed his wife, being great with child. And she brought forth a firstborn son, and wrapped him in the swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The time of his birth, it says in Daniel 9:25, know therefore and understand that from going forth of his commandments to restore, to build Jerusalem into the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 80 days. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And Luke 2:1 says, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And the taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And it talks about to be born of a virgin. In Isaiah it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. And Luke 1 says, in the 6th month the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin exposed to a man whose name was Joseph, in the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. So just as it prophesied from the Old Testament, as it was fulfilled in the New, I just always find that interesting, you know, how hundreds or thousands of years before they prophesied of the Son, of Jesus coming to save the world from their sins. But just also I was going to read here this morning, I was talking about compare ourselves, you know, or be examples for one another. Because we do leave examples, and I believe that God can use men to be great examples for brethren, for people on this earth. I don't want to exclude that. But as I read the little devotion this morning, it says, we all leave examples to others. The question is, what does that example look like? If others were to follow my example today, if others would follow my example, what would they end up at, in heaven or hell? You know, it's a question right today. If people would follow our example in our life, our words, where would they end up at? As parents, the worst sound could we possibly hear would be the cries of our children in hell, telling us that they followed our example. Imagine, that's sobering. The opposite is also true. The most joyful among the redeemed in heaven, telling us that they are here because they follow our example. So we see that examples are important as children of God. So today, for example, are we setting? Okay, so let's just turn to Matthew here. I'm going to read a few chapters of Matthew. I'm going to do a little bit of reading here today, just to just to show the life of Jesus and the sayings that he left, the sayings or the teachings that he wants us to hear and to understand. And starting on verse 18 in Matthew 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise. When as his mother Mary was exposed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which she conceived is in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and taken into him his wife. And knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. And as we see verse 21, it says, He shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from his sins. And that is exciting. That was the purpose of Christ, to come, to save men, to save people from their sins, that they don't have to spend eternity in hell with the devil. But today you look around and you wonder sometimes, who did he save from their sins? You know, the wickedness of this world that we live in. As you look at, you go into Fort Wayne, and we did a lot of traveling through Haiti and China and all those places. You just meet people that don't even believe in Jesus, let alone God. But we know this morning that he did save a group of people here from their sins. And I can say hallelujah that we, just not because he was born or he died, but we believe, we trusted in him for his salvation. We repented of our sins and called upon him, and we can have eternal life. Because Matthew, you know, it says that many are called, but few are chosen. The scripture says, and we see that many or few are chosen, and there is very few. Because Matthew says, But enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. And that is, when you read that passage there from Matthew 7, the few there that find it. And it is sad to know that, especially when Jesus Christ came to this earth to save people from their sins. But yet there's a few there be that find it. So praise God that he did send his son and Jesus was willing to come. And when Jesus was born, it says here, save us from sins. We see right from the beginning, Satan was after him. Satan was trying to kill him throughout all of his life to destroy the Son of God, the one that was going to bring life, that we could be reconciled back to God. Satan was after him from day one. And we see here, reading in Matthew 2 here, that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born of the Jews? For we have seen the star of the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, all at Jerusalem with him. And we see right from the beginning, it wasn't Herod, it was Satan behind this. And when they had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he demanded of where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus is written of the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not thou least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor, he shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired them diligently what time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for that young child. And when you find him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard these things, they departed, and lo, the star which saw in the east went before him until it came and stood over the young child. The young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented him with gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then being warned of God in a dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed in their own country another way. And we see here the flight from Egypt. They fled there because Satan was trying to destroy them from that time. But praise God, you know, I want to say first, as today we see that enemy that was trying to kill, destroy Jesus from the time he was born until age 33. And never got it done. But that enemy today, we're fighting that same enemy today who wants to take this church and wants to take the churches of God and those that are worshiping him. That same enemy we fight against today. And when we see that, may we remember it's not against flesh and blood that we fight against, but it's against the powers of this earth. I'll come to that later. I guess that verses I thought it was here, but it's not. But we fight not against flesh and blood. It's against the enemy. But I can just say praise God that Jesus is on our side. We have someone today that can lift us up and take us through all trials and tribulations that we face. Because greater is He that is in us than the one that's in this world. So thank you, Jesus, that we can have victory in everything that we that Satan puts in front of us. Because it talks about in the prophecy here as well, two more prophecies here then fulfilled. I like to read the slaughter of the innocents. You know, as Herod sent the people in to destroy, you know, later on here, everybody that was two and younger. In Jeremiah, they prophesied about that. In Jeremiah 31:15, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentations and bitter weepings, Rachel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not." And Matthew said, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceedingly wroth." He was angry. "And he sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof from 2 years and under, according to the time which he had diligently acquired the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, Ramah, there was a voice heard of lamentations and weepings and great mournings, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they were not." It's referring to the children that were all slain from two and under. And as Brother John shared, and I think I shared that as well, from the beginning, Satan was trying to destroy him. Okay, I'm going to flip to Luke here, most of the rest of the way out here. And we've seen here, after they fled Egypt, you know, from fled from Herod, the king. And we don't read about him until he's as a boy in the temple. He went from being, as he fled Egypt, and the next time we read about him, it says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem," in Luke 2, verse 41. "Every year at the feast of the Passover, when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the customs of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind him in Jerusalem, and Joseph his Mary was not, and knew not of it. But they supposed him to have been in the company, as they was traveling, and thought Jesus was with him. When a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors." And this is always find this interesting. Children, listen to this. I think he's 12 years old. When they went back, and this is where they found Jesus. It says that, "And they found him not, and they turned back to Jerusalem to seek him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors." The doctors, referring to teachers, both hearing him and asking them questions. He was sitting there listening and asking questions. "And all that heard him were astonished at the understanding and answers. When they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist you not? Know you not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not. And saying which he spake unto them. And he went down unto them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and his favor with God and man. At 12 years old, he told his mom, Know you not that I must be about my Father's business? And we know that what he was saying there. But yeah, at a very young age, children, 12 years old, he was not, I mean, sometimes we have this concept, well, you know, he's just a young child, just let him go, he'll grow up. But 12 years old, Jesus was about his Father's business. And understand, yes, he was a son of God, we know that. But yet, he was also in the flesh. He was in the flesh, he came. And the good question for us today, as adults, as children of God, are we about our Father's business today? And we see that throughout Jesus' whole life, he was about his Father's business. It was about pleasing the Father. And everything he done, and everything, everywhere he went, it was about all about Jesus. And that's just a great challenge. We can challenge our heart today. Are we going about praising or pleasing, trying to please or to follow after God as Jesus was here? And we need to be about our Father's business today, going about telling others what Jesus can do to a person that repents and call upon the Lord Jesus for his salvation. We see that Jesus went on, you know, from here on out, he went on. Years later passed by, and he went ministering to the sick, and he told us as well that we should go ministering and visiting those in prisons and etc., whatever it may be. As we see here in verse 21 in Luke, it says, And now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass. Now Jesus is, I think, somewhere around 30 here, beginning in his ministry. It says, when all the people were baptized, and it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and prayed, the heavens were opened. And the Holy Ghost descended into a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And that is a challenge I want to put in our hearts. Today, as the Father looks down upon each and every one of us, does he see that? Does he see that purity that he's seen in Jesus? You know, because in 1 John 3 it says, Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us, that we could be called the sons of God. And we can be called the sons of God, as he says, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And that's it's a challenge as he's looking down at us. Is he looking at us this morning and saying, Yes, whoever, Leroy, thou art my, you are my beloved Son. I am well pleased with thee. I am well pleased with us, with this congregation. That's what he wants. And I'm not preaching a perfected life here, which the Bible does say, go ye therefore and be perfect because I'm perfect. But I know that he wants us to be as Christ walked. And we know that, yes, Christ was he was a perfect example that we can follow. And that is my encouragement. If we should follow anyone or to be a pattern in our life after anyone, let it be Christ. It's a very, when I see that verse there, and as the Holy Ghost descended upon a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came down from heaven and said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And I trust that the Lord can say that to each and every one of us today. The only way he can say that if we've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ and walking in his statues as Jesus did. it was prophesied in Deuteronomy 18:15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. And as they was prophesying that, unto him you shall hearken. And way back then, I don't know how many years ago, I didn't look it up from Deuteronomy when this was prophesied into the coming of Christ. But he says, ye shall hearken. You shall listen to him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And as we talked about from the beginning, Satan was trying to destroy him. Let's go to Luke 4, the temptation of Jesus. We see how he overcame all those temptations. And I just want to read maybe the first, I don't know how many, 30 of these verses here, I think. And as I read that, we just see how Jesus overcame. And like I said, I just like to share a message on the life of Jesus and also the way that he overcame and what he did and the words that he shared for our good. So this is one, how Jesus overcame temptation. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days he did eat nothing. When they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that be made bread. And Jesus was, you know, look at Jesus, he says, and he answered him, saying, It is written. He knew the word of God. Thou man, it is written, Thou man, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. And that is us. We should not live by bread alone, but by every word of the word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all these kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and all the glory of them, for this is delivered unto me, and to whoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship thy God, thy Lord, thy God, and him shalt thou serve, only shalt thou serve. And he brought him up to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give thy angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time they shall dash a foot against a stone. And Jesus answered unto him and said, Thou shalt not tempt thy Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned to the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went into the fame of him through all the regions throughout. And he taught in their synagogues, and being glorified of all. And it came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and the custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him a book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captive, and recover of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. And he gave again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? So we see here as he stood up here in the temple of all the, you can imagine, the rabbis and the teachers and the high priests and all that. And this is Jesus just beginning his ministry. He stood up and you imagine the response that he got in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance. You know, and he said he read that and he sat down. And as we go on behind that, 29, it says, And they rose up and they thrust him out of the city. And led him to the brow of the hill where their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. And we know that it says that he went passing through the midst of them, went his way. But as we see that, as he stood up, and I just pondered upon that, probably it would have been, we would have got the same response probably, who knows, 15 years ago. If we would have stood up after we got born again and would have read this. Today, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. We know that if you've been born again, the Spirit of God is upon you. It says, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. He hath anointed every one of us to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, you know, to preach deliverance to the captive. He wants to use us in the same way here that he told Jesus to go about and show people deliverance from the captivity, you know, show them how they can find victory. So we see here how Jesus overcame Satan, you know, so can you and I. Any temptation, anything that we're battling, we can be overcomers. As long as, you know, if we have this same connection to the Holy Spirit Jesus had. But I ask, why do so many Christians live in defeat today? So-called, maybe I should say so-called Christians, I don't know. Because you talked with many many people that call themselves Christ or Christians, and they say the right things and vice versa, whatever, but yet they can't find victory over so many of their sins. And I just wrote down because they still love some of the things of their old life. And today, if we're battling that as well, can't finding victory over some things, whatever it may be, you know in your heart. And as I question and challenge myself with that, and I've seen some things in my life that maybe I struggle with, and it's because we still love some of the old things of our old life, and God forbid that we would throw it out, and especially we've seen what Christ has done for us here. But as we see here on verse 18, or throughout this early, how Jesus was rejected from the beginning throughout his whole ministry, you know, and as we see that, a thought come to me again, and I think I shared this before, as it says in Ephesians 6:12, you know, for how Satan wants to destroy churches, or how sometimes there's brothers that are maybe bickering or whatever. And I see that if we see it in this way here, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. As we've seen Satan here from the beginning that Jesus was born, is trying to destroy Jesus' life. Because we know the spiritual thing, because he was cast out of heaven, and Satan, we know, is angry. And he don't want any one of us in here, any child or any father or mother or son or daughter, any one of us, to be reconciled back to God someday. He wants every one of us destroyed and with him in hell. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So if we see it that way, when there's some conflict that comes, may we see it. It's not against me and Benji. It's not against me and whoever it may be, Steve or John. But it's Satan that's putting these little darts, throwing these darts, trying to get us that enemy, trying to destroy us. So may we when that comes, when those little darts come, may we not look at the brother, but take it to God and say, God, I know that's not your heart, and I know it's not what I want, it's not what Benji wants, or whoever it may be. But it's the devil trying to destroy. It's against flesh. It's not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, the same power that was trying to destroy Jesus and the church from the beginning. As Jesus began serving, we know that very few people believed. Many of them not believed, and they rejected his coming, his words. As it says there in Isaiah 53, it says, "Who hath believed our report?" As Isaiah was saying, and whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before us as a tender plant, as the root of the dry ground. He had not form or comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. As we hid him as it were his faces from him, he was despised and we esteem him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are all healed. We see the torture he went through just for mankind. For all his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so open not his mouth. And I just wanted to read that, because we see here, because Jesus understood, you know, that it was all these things that was happening. Yes, he spoke out against the high priests and those that crucified him, but he was oppressed, afflicted, yeah, he opened not his mouth. We didn't see any harsh words coming out against them, because he's seen it was of the devil that was trying to destroy his life. But we know that, you know, as Jesus went on preaching, as I shared there, that it seemed like who had believed our report and who was listening. And today, you know, Satan wants to make it appear that no one is listening. As when we go out, as we, you know, as we are anointed and we are, the Spirit is up on us to go about preaching the gospel and to heal the brokenhearted and deliver them out of the bondage. Sometimes we wonder, are they hearing us? But yes, they are. When the Spirit of God is up on us, the Spirit says the Word of God will not come back void to us. But we know that that God uses us, and He wants us to be faithful in that, because men do hear. But what happens is many reject. And I know that years ago, that we were going to the concert here in Coliseum. I think I shared that before. But as we were walking in the door, there was a man standing by the door. He was preaching the Word of God. I know is, I don't remember what he was saying, but it was he was talking about Jesus and asking us to consider our ways, you know, because this is nothing but the devil worship. I remember hearing some of those things. So he did speak. He probably had no idea that he spoke to about four or five of us that night, that we went in and our hearts was beating. We knew that what he said was right. But yet we hardened our heart and we went in. But yet I never forgot that. I knew what he was saying was true. So let's be faithful and continue on. It seemed like even though no one's maybe listening, but God uses it in a great way. So we see the life of Jesus as he's going on here preaching here. We see that someone that's full of compassion, love, and mercy, and grace. And he was just a person that we should want to pattern ourselves after. Yet, you know, as full of love and compassion and mercy, yet he went preaching and saying hard things, the truth, and it was nothing but the truth. We know that he was full of compassion, but yet he said many hard things. And that, with only way that works is with he had redemption in mind. That's how the words will come forth when we have redemption in mind for mankind. So let's be more like Jesus as he went forth, a great example for us. So going on here to Luke 12 or 11 here, Jesus taught on the prayer as he was praying here. And as I seen that, you know, as he had a need, and I know that John 17, he had a prayer there. Jesus teaches about prayer here, but on John, I think that was John 17. I didn't write that down, but here, if we see the need of Jesus in praying or connecting, communicating with His Father, you know, how much more of a need do we have today to, you know, for us to communicate and to seek the Father? Yeah, that was John 17 as well. But here he teaches on prayer here in Luke. So we have, it's a great thing to communicate and to ask and to seek, as the Lord Jesus did here. He went through and taught them how to pray. And he says in verse 9, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son asks for bread, any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish give you a serpent? Or if you ask for an egg, will he give you a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So we see a prayer is important. When we're finding or being challenged or being in challenges, seek God. Because he says that he wants to give us all good things. He wants to answer our prayers, our cries. There are times he might not, at certain times he'll allow things go on, but to another time. But yes, he says, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask of him? So we see the need of Jesus on communicating and seeking his Father. If Jesus seen that, how much more of a need do we have? So we see here Jesus is fulfilling his mission as he goes on here in chapter 12 as he's continuing on teaching and preaching. And I just want to read some of these things here that he was telling the disciples and whoever he met there. Starting on verse 12, I just want to read. I'm just going to skip through some of these here, parables. But chapter 12, verse 5, it says, "But I forewarn you, whom you shall fear. Fear him which he after he hath killed hath power to cast you into hell. Yet I say unto you, fear him." And that he's saying, men, fear God, the one that has power to cast you in hell. He says, "Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and one of them are forgotten before God? But everyone, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more than value than any sparrows. But I say, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But to him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. And when they bring you into the synagogues and into the magistrates and the powers, take ye no thought how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say." May we be filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. As he's telling the disciples, he said, the Holy Ghost shall teach you. And we see here in the rich fool, I just want to read that one, the parable of the rich fool and a few of these. "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a ruler? Who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain man brought forth plentiful. And he therefore within himself saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But Jesus said unto them, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then shall these things be which thou hast provided. See, he that layeth up treasures for himself is not rich toward God." And as he was teaching them here, you know, it's not about abundance of things in this life, but it's about laying up treasures in heaven. As it says there in 31, "But seek you rather the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." May we seek first the kingdom of God. It says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And as you read that, it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, to give us good things. "Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which will wax not old. A treasure in the heavens that falleth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. So where your treasure is, there will your heart also be." And that speaks very loudly. You can see times where people's treasures are by what's coming forth. "Lest your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves liken to men, and wait for their Lord. And he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are the servants whom they, when the Lord he cometh, shall find them watching. Blessed are we," it says, "blessed are we when we find, when we find the Lord, when the Lord cometh, we find watching. Verily I say unto you, he that shall gird himself and make him to sit down at meat, he will come forth and serve him." See, I might have to let some of these go here. Then 41 talks about the unfaithful servant. I'll read that one. "And Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or to all? And the Lord said, Who is he that is faithful and wise steward? Whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them the portion of meat in due season. Blessed is a servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him a ruler over all that he hath. And if the servant say unto heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and eat and drink to be drunken. The Lord the servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him. And the hour when he is not aware will cut him in sunder, and point him to the portion with the unbelievers. And the servant which knew the Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. In that verse there, I was just going to get down to that verse. And the servant that which knew the Lord's will, and prepared to deny himself. It says he will be beaten with many stripes. He's going to be more accountable if we knew the will of God, and we knew the will of Jesus, his words and his teachings, and we follow them not, we will be more accountable than those that maybe didn't understand them as others. But may we be, you know, may we be found willing, find ready when the Lord Jesus comes. Not as this fig tree. On 13, verse 6, it says, he spake also to the parable, a certain man had a fig tree planted in the vineyard, and he came and sought thereof and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I came seeking fruit on this tree, and I found none. Cut it down. Why cometh it to the ground? And he answered and said unto them, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. If it bear fruit, well. If not, then I will cut it down. So I trust that end of our life, that Jesus will find fruit in our life. Yeah, I'm going to skip across some of these here. Verse 14, Luke 14, verse 25. Here it says, when they went, and there went great multitudes with him to be turned, and he said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yeah, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. And which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? And I see that, counting the cost, he talks about that a time or so in the Gospels. And why would he mention that? Because he wants us to know, you know, from the beginning, Jesus, he counted the cost. He knew from the day he stepped from the throne that what he was going to face. He was going to face great persecution and trials and troubles and beatings and mockings and all that. And he knew that. And that's why he said, Father, not my will, but thine. He knew what was going to happen. And I think the Lord wants us to know as well, as we go through this life, that we're going to face, you know, challenges and all that. But I want to tell you that you will face them, but it'll at the end, it'll be well worth it. He wants us to understand that. This way we don't get discouraged and quit or fold. He wants to understand, you know, what we're going to face as well. The parable of the lost son, you know, as a heart here that God wants for us to have for lost souls. He says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me, and divide them into his living. We see here they had two sons. One wanted his inheritance, and he left. And he was gone for many years. I'm not sure how long, for quite some time. And we see him here as a father here. He had a love for his child, his son. Why don't I just read it here, starting on 14. And he went and he spent all that he had, this son, and arose a mighty famine in the land and began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country and sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man give him any. He just wanted the husk that the swine would eat, but they wouldn't give him any. And it came to him himself and said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said unto the servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put on a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fattened calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For the son was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found, and they begin to be merry. But what I've seen of that, the father, as fathers, you know, we need to have a burden for our children. And here this man, this father, as his son left, he said he seen him coming from a far way off. What was he doing? He was watching. He was probably praying, communing with God. Because we live in a wicked world where Satan would love to destroy and kill our children or lead them astray. So we need to be well equipped. And this father was standing there watching for his son to return, and far out there it said he seen his son coming, and he ran and greeted him. It says, we see that through all that, after that, it says that they rejoice after he come home. And today, it was over one repented sinner. It says the angels in heaven rejoice over one lost sinner. So we see that. So we know that as they rejoice there, the father rejoiced that his son came home. And the whole family. That won't happen unless we are risen with Christ, as it says in Colossians 3:12. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not things of this earth. May our thoughts and may our life be above the things of this life. Because the things in this life are just temporal. It's going to pass away. And we see here the rich man here in 16, verse 19, the rich man of Lazarus, the rich man, his vision didn't go any further in this life that he was in, and we see the end of it thereof. It said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple, fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. It says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham far off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and sent Lazarus, that he may dip the tongue of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I have tormented in this flame. Just for a season, as I think Ephraim shared that, you know, may we suffer a little in this life, and later on we can experience the blessings of God for eternity. Here the rich man, just in a short life, I don't know how old he was, but he lifted up his eyes in hell and he was in torment for eternity. But as he said, son, he said, have Lazarus bring me a little bit of water to cool my tongue. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and thou is a great gulf fixed, that they would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us, that they would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. Here we see today, he says, send him back to my father's house, and I have five brethren. Tell them, testify unto them, lest they shall also come in torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let him hear. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one that rose from the dead. God give us a burden. A vision. So we see here, you know, as a rich man here, it was just about, is about himself. And we see that Jesus says the kingdom of God is about others. And we see that in the life of Jesus Christ. It was not about him. It was always about helping or being there for someone, the sick, or going sharing the gospel or telling them the way, how they can be delivered. It was never, he never spent time of himself. So the gospel is about, Jesus said the kingdom of God is about others, and we see that Jesus, that was the life of Jesus, as he was ministering, teaching, helping, visiting the sick, etc., whatever it may be. So let's not be deceived that we cannot live a life of our own and expect that we can inherit the kingdom of heaven. It's to be found as that widow there in chapter 18, as Jesus used that there, that parable. there as she, I'll just read it. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. The men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in the city a judge which feareth not God, neither regarded men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to them, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said unto himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her at least by her continuing coming, she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night to him, though he bear with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And we see this persistent lady here just crying out to the judge here, just to judge me, take care of it. And finally he did. And Jesus says, I'm the same way. You know, just come to me. He says, I will no way cast you out, as Sally said, shared there this morning. Yeah, skip through some of that here. And I'm just going to go on to his betraying and the forsaken and death and his resurrection here on Christ. As Sally shared here, you know, his birth and his death and all that would not have been important unless he would have resurrected. Now we understand that if Jesus would not have surrendered his life unto the Father, he would not have or could have went to the cross and give his life for the sins of the world. Because he did say, Lord, and he said, or Father, not my will, but thy will be done. He didn't want to go through that any more than what any one of us would. But he was surrendered into the Father's will. He was betrayed by one of the disciples and denied by Peter, then forsaken by all. And as I ponder that, you know, he didn't complain, as we read there in Isaiah. He didn't get upset, he didn't get mad, but he had great compassion for all men. He was falsely accused, and he was mocked, and he was tortured. And yet he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he could do that, as I want to read again, because Jesus knew that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, as it says in Ephesians 6. Let's not forget that we fight not against flesh and blood, but it's against the principalities of darkness of this world. Trust that we will seek to become more like him. Just going to read Isaiah again. It says here, says that he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. So we see, I'm not sure, I'm not going to read all through this through here. I see the time got away from me here. I got a few more to go through here, but anyway, I'll just go through this little quickly here. See that the death. We see that when Jesus, you know, he was willing to come and drink of that cup. He stretched forth his hand. We see that Jesus saw the sins of the whole world, as he saw me and all of you. He's seen us. As Jesus says, not my will, but thy will be done, Father. As we see, Jesus says, as we read through here in the next several chapters, I'm not going to read through, I had some more reading, but we see that Jesus saying, Father, I will go to the cross for their sins, and I will save them from eternal judgment. So whoever may come, come. And I can say, praise God, that whoever may come, come. That is the purpose of Jesus coming, being born in a manger, as the world celebrates Tuesday, you know, some thousand years ago. The birth. And they're still celebrating his birth today. Just his birth. They don't understand the death and resurrection and all that. His ascension. But we see that he did it for the whole world. That the whole world could be saved from their sins. But we know that many are called, but few are chosen. And Satan, still thinking he was finally killing Jesus. He was finally... You know, we still see it, Satan here, he was still after. And I can just almost see Satan thinking, finally, I think we're getting closer. not knowing that it was the Father's will. Jesus had that hedge of protection around him from God. Satan was not going to destroy him. And that is the same hedge that we can have today. Have that hedge that was around Job, hedge that around Jesus, Satan couldn't touch him. Today, I trust that we will have that hedge around about us where Satan will not be able to tempt us or destroy us. And as finally Jesus died on the cross, and right before Jesus dies, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And he dies. And we can see the Pilate and Herod and the rabbis and the priests and all of them were just like, finally, he's good. He's dead. He's gone for good. Right? Gone for good. We know that. He's not gone for good. He died. So praise God that the death of Jesus, that it didn't stop there, or there would be no chance for life for any one of us. So praise God that he's risen from the grave, and he's sitting at the Father's right hand today, interceding for me and you, for every one of us today, that whoever may come. He's interceding for the whole world, that's his heart, that everyone would repent and come to his understanding, or come to his where they can have eternal life. It was his resurrection where the serpent's head was crushed. And all those, it was at his resurrection where the serpent's head was crushed. And all those that heed to the calling of Jesus, to repent of their sins and trust in Jesus Christ for their salvation, obey Jesus' teaching and endure until the end, will inherit eternal life. So praise God. And I just want to go to Mark 16 there. I ain't got a whole lot more here, just a few more things here. Let's turn to Mark 16, just read a little bit on the resurrection from Mark. Starting on verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother James and Salome, who brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, and it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right hand, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where you laid him. But go your way, tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared unto Mary Magdalene, out of the tomb, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went out and told them they had been with them, and they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had seen her, believed not. After he appeared into another form unto two of them, they walked and they went into the country. And they went and told it to the residue, neither believed they them. Then he went to the leaven, the disciples here. Afterwards he appeared unto the leaven as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, this is what he told unto the leaven, to the 11 disciples, and this is, as Jesus told them, it's like as well unto us. He says, "Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And all these signs shall follow that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And they shall take up serpents. And they shall drink any deadly thing, and shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man will come to the Father but by me." And then, after his resurrection, he met the disciples here in Acts. says that when the day of Pentecost was come, this was after his death and his resurrection, he resurrected here. It says, Acts 1, starting on 6, the ascension. When they therefore were come together, in Acts 1, verse 6, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons, which the power hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had thus spoken these things, when they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of sight. And when they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood up before him in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And we know that he has gone, but he has sent the Holy Spirit here. So he says here in John 16, but these things I told unto you when the time shall come. You remember that I told you of them, and these things I say unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asks me whither I go. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Well, praise God that the Spirit of God has come upon us. As the day of Pentecost here, when the 12 were sitting there, or not the 12, but I'm not sure how many. It says, and suddenly there came around about heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house that were sitting. There appeared unto him a cloven tongue like a fire, and it set upon every one. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. So that Holy Spirit that came upon them today, just one more verse here. But that Holy Spirit that came upon those men there today at Pentecost, we could say as well, we have witnessed that here as well. We've seen the Holy Spirit came upon men. 19 years ago, the revival started around here. We've seen close to 70, 80 families that got born again from their wickedness and from their sin, and their names written in the book of life. Praise the Lord, that same Spirit today that came upon them can come upon men. Let's go preaching how people can be delivered from their sins. I can say, praise God, that Jesus is alive and well. One verse here in closing. In Titus, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, for that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So may we be found looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'll just leave you with that. I just was challenged as I read through that, just looking at the life of Jesus and his teachings and things that he wants for me. Just not his life, but the things that he wants us to live out. Like I say, I was, challenged and encouraged, because he is for us. He's not against us. And he does fight for his children. So may God bless you all.